Today I would like you to take your Bible and let's turn to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 9, and I'll be speaking to you from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Let's read these two verses together. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I have a very important and vital message I want to bring this morning about the priesthood, the priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you'll pay a special attention to the broadcast this morning. Throughout the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth in the glory of his person. Who is Jesus Christ? In chapter 1, verse 3, we read, who being the brightness of God's glory, speaking of Christ Jesus, and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. The whole book of Hebrews is taken up with the glory and the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but the glory of his office, the glory of his priestly work. 16 times in this letter to the Hebrews, his priesthood is declared. I'll give you one example. In chapter 3, verse 1, we read, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. 16 times it makes reference to the priestly work of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, in the book of Hebrews, we're confronted with this, the glory of his sacrifice. The sacrifices offered under the law never put away sin, but his one sacrifice did. In Hebrews 10:14, we read, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, all three things are essential to secure our salvation. The glory of his person, the glory of his office, and the glory of his sacrifice. Without our Lord Jesus Christ being the appointed high priest, bringing the appointed sacrifice, we have no remission of sin. We have no righteousness established. We have no hope of eternal life before God. We would face certain, swift, and certain condemnation before God because our sins have separated us from God. The wages of sin is death. So you see the necessity of Jesus Christ and the necessity of his priestly work and the necessity of his sacrifice before God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sinner's high priest, the mediator and surety, fulfilling all that the Old Testament priesthood pictured. That was just a picture and a type. It wasn't possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. It just typified how a substitutionary victim would put away sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that substitute. We read in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at verses 11 and 12. I want to camp on verse 12 here in just a few minutes, but let's look at verse 11. It says, Christ being come. Christ being come. We pass now from shadow to substance. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent of God. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. He appeared once in the end of the world to put away sin. He is come, being sent of God. Notice this, he being come a high priest, Not a martyr, not an example, not a reformer, but a priest to represent us before God and to make atonement for the sin of God's people, God's sheep, his elect. And through this sacrifice, through his priestly office, notice what it says in verse 11. Being come a high priest of good things to come. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased good things with his blood. Peace, pardon, righteousness, redemption, reconciliation. All these blessings we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice this. He's the priest of a greater and more perfect tabernacle. He didn't officiate in an earthly tabernacle, in an earthly holy place. Look at verse 24 in Hebrews 9, verse 24. Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures and types of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He's the high priest officiating not in a holy place made with hands, but a greater and more perfect tabernacle in the heavenlies before God, to appear in the presence of God for us. All these spiritual blessings that we have obtained through our great high priest, through this better sacrifice, through this greater tabernacle, were all purchased with His own blood. Notice verse 12. He obtained eternal redemption for us with His blood. We're not redeemed from sin with corruptible things such as our works, our deeds, our doing, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 12, I want to camp on verse 12 and point out four things to you that I pray God will bring to your remembrance often. In verse 12, we read about this precious sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He entered into glory through this sacrifice. Now, four things. Here's the first one. The sacrifice by which He entered into glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ as God and as man entered into the holy place as our high priest, but not without the blood. He must enter in by blood. Now, here's four things to remember on this first point. The sacrifice that He offered was special and certainly unique. It was His own blood that He offered. God purchased the church with His own blood. There never has been or ever will be a man such as this man. God, the God-man, God manifest in the flesh, redeeming His people. He is God and He is man. As much God as He was not man and as much man as He was not God. In one blessed person, and it's who He is that gives merit to what He did. You see the uniqueness and how special His sacrifice was. Secondly, this sacrifice was substitutionary. It says there that He obtained eternal redemption for us, for His people. He died for somebody. The Lord Jesus Christ did not die because of His own sin. He had none. He knew none. He did no sin. But He's dying for the sins of His people. Listen to the Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He's dying as a substitute, wounded for us, bruised for us, the just dying for the unjust. So we see this is a special sacrifice by which He entered into glory. It was a substitutionary sacrifice. And thirdly, it was a personal sacrifice. Our Lord didn't bring the merits of others or the sufferings of others. It says here, not with the blood of bulls and of goats, but with His own blood. He didn't enter in with the blood and suffering of others as the Old Testament priest did. He brought His own blood. He suffered for us Himself. Listen to these Scriptures. He poured out His soul unto death, Isaiah 53:12. He bare our sin in His own body on the tree, 1 Peter 2:24. He loved us and gave Himself for us, 1 John 4:10. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, Hebrews 9:26. He tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone, we read in Isaiah 63:1-4. He prayed in the garden alone, we read in Mark 14:35. You see, it was a personal sacrifice. Fourthly, this sacrifice was offered unto God. It was offered unto God. Now listen to me carefully. The blood was offered before the Lord. It wasn't offered toward men. It was offered unto the Lord. This is God's offering for sin. You listen to Ephesians 5:2. Christ loved us and had given Himself for an offering and a sacrifice unto God for a sweet smelling savor. He appeared in the presence of God for us. Hebrews 9:24. On the Day of Atonement, back under the law, on the Day of Atonement, no one saw the blood on the mercy seat when it was sprinkled before the Lord. The high priest of old, you read it in Leviticus 16, the high priest of old went in alone once every year. No one saw that blood outside of the high priest and God Almighty. It was offered on the mercy seat before the Lord. The blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. The blood atonement of Jesus Christ is not left to the sinner's will to give it merit. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God is satisfied with His blood. God is satisfied with His atonement and demands the unconditional surrender of every sinner to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ and to confess that He is Lord and to confess that His sacrifice and His redemption is enough to put away sin. You see, it's not left up to us to decide whether His sacrifice was effectual unto God or not. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. This sacrifice was offered unto God, not unto men. Now, here's the second point. You see, how He entered into glory through this sacrifice. Here's the manner of this entrance. Secondly, we read in verse 12, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by His own blood, He entered in once. Once. The manner of His entrance into the holy place in the heavenlies was one time. One time. He entered in once into the holy place. Now, the Old Testament priest entered in once, but he entered in every year, year after year after year, because his atonement was never effectual. His atonement never put away sin. It was only typical, pointing to the one that would come, Jesus Christ, who would put away our sin. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, listen to what we read. Let's read Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 11. Every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now listen carefully. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's no need to repeat something that is completely done and finished and satisfying before God. His offering, his blood, actually obtained and secured eternal redemption for us. No veil hangs in the way that needs to be lifted every year. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He rent the veil in two by one offering. Offered one time, he put away our sin. You see the manner of this entrance? One time. One offering. His blood is sufficient to put away our sin. Now, thirdly, the object of his entrance. It says in verse 12, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The object of his entrance? To redeem us. To redeem us. Redemption is deliverance by payment. By payment. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. The payment for our sin was his blood. He bought us with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify God. And he made a full payment for our sin. In the book of Job, we read, deliver him from going down to the pit. God said, I have a ransom. And when the ransom's paid, the sinner set free. We sing that song, Jesus pays it all. All the debt I owe. You see the manner of his entrance? One time. The object of his entrance? To redeem us from our sin. And secondly, to appear for us in the presence of God. He went to glory to appear eternally for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. You see that down in verse 24? But into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. What was the object of his entrance when he had by himself purged our sins? He sat down. He redeemed us. Secondly, to appear for us as our mediator, as our intercessor. God sees us in the heavenlies in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious representative and forerunner. In Christ, we are already seated in the heavenlies. You listen to this scripture. Our forerunner has entered in and sat down at God's right hand, and the believer in him. Listen to this scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In him we are raised together and seated in the heavenlies, already in the purpose of God, in Christ, already finished. The object of his entrance was to redeem us, to appear for us, and then thirdly, to perfect us, to perfect us. He made because he made an end of our sin and gave us his blessed righteousness, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Not even God himself. It's God who justified. In Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, in closing, let me give you this, the glory of his entrance, the glory of his entrance. We've seen something of the sacrifice of his entrance, the manner of his entrance, the object of his entrance. Now, let's look at the glory of his entrance in closing. Two things. He enters in because the work is done. When he had by himself, as I said earlier, he purged our sins and he sat down at the right hand of God. He enters in and sits down because it's finished. He said on the cross, it's finished. You listen to this scripture in John 17. I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work that the Father gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He enters in the glory and sits down because his work is finished. He satisfied every requirement that God demanded of us. He honored every precept and satisfied every penalty for us. He honored and exalted the law for us, and God's well pleased with his sacrifice. Secondly, the glory of his entrance, his work is done, and his work is done eternally. Notice it says he obtained eternal redemption for us. Three times in these few verses, he uses the word eternal. Down in verse 14, it says he offered himself without spot to God through the eternal Spirit. In verse 15, it says that he obtained an eternal inheritance for us. Now, why must his sacrifice and his redemption be eternal for us? Because God's eternal. His sacrifice dealt with eternal things, sin, death, hell, and judgment. When the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself through the eternal Spirit, by that offering, he paid our sin debt and obtained an eternal inheritance for us. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our Lord obtained eternal redemption for us, we no longer dread eternal punishment. Now, let me ask you this, and I'll quit. Do you have this eternal redemption through Christ? Do you have the great high priest and mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ? He that believeth has everlasting life, and that is the fruit of his eternal redemption.